Welcome to the Trisexuals, a podcast about spreading your legs and opening your mind. Please be advised that you must be over 18 years of age to ride. Remember that the Trisexuals cover adult themes and concepts and oftentimes use salty language.
The fucking fucktards from fucking hell.
For your safety and the safety of others, please keep your hands in your pants at all times. Enjoy the ride.
I wonder if I can make it fart.
Oh my god, I cannot believe you're putting your mouth on that. I just got spit on by a buddy butt.
Have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Hello and welcome. I'm Max.
And I'm Lily.
And I'm Kit.
And, you know, if you are hearing our voices right now, then congratulations. You have somehow removed yourself from the addiction that is Pokemon Go long enough to download our podcast and listen to it. Congratulations. This is the first step towards recovering. So today we're going to start off with some updates on some stuff that we've been talking about recently, and one of the big things in Trisexuals news is the vegan experiment. Could you tell us a little something about that, Kit?
So, last episode we talked about the ovipositor, and one of the things that you do with your ovipositor is make your own eggs. And, of course, normal eggs are made from gelatin, so I am also making a vegan version, and what I'm doing on Twitter, I am showing the process step by step, and I'm also making eggs with different materials so that you can see what they look like, how they turn out. And if you follow the hashtag vegan experiment, you can see these different pictures. So it's not just vegan eggs, though. The steps I'm going to do are for everything. And some of them are kind of funny. I tried a xanthan gum, and the picture, I almost felt like apologizing because it was so gross the way it came out. So don't try xanthan gum. But I actually found a couple other of good alternatives. There's actually something I found at Whole Foods called Bakeall Gel, and you'll see more about that and how the eggs turned out. And I have some egger coming. So follow that hashtag, vegan experiment, and we'll have that in the show notes for you so you can find it and you can see what's happening with my crazy ovipositor experiments in my kitchen.
I have to say that egg, you know, failure definitely made me laugh today.
It was awful. And it was such a big mess to clean up. Like, there is nothing more slimy and slurpy and goopy than xanthan gum. Awful. Don't try it at home. Just do yourself a favor and don't.
Well, thanks for putting yourself and your body on the line to get us the best in vegan eggs. Something that I don't believe that we'd actually talked to you about. We actually purchased that smaller round mold that came with your bed bug to use with our Kubera. And so we have actually some eggs sitting in the fridge right now, ready to go. Of course, you know, old school gelatin for us. But so we're looking forward to giving that a shot. Now is the time in the show where we talk about what we've been playing with lately. So what I have gotten here in my hands is the Bunny Penetrable Toy from Primal Hardware. I know we talk about Primal Hardware a lot, and this is only the second episode, but buckle in. It's happening. So, yeah, this penetrable is really great. It was a lot bigger than I expected when I received it, and it has this nice flat bottom on it, unlike any other penetrable I've had before, and that allows you to lay it on the bed or wherever you're going to town, and it's just, you know, easier. It's kind of like a hands-free experience. And one of the other things I really like about it is that it could be a bunny, or it kind of looks like it could be a doe, like a little deer action there. It's, you know, whichever way you go, it could work for both. So that's what I've been using lately.
And as a side note, it does not make a good fart noise.
No. I tried to blow some air through the one end and get it to fart out the other side. God. No dice there. Judy Hopps is retaining her no fart record as it is right now.
So what I've been working on actually is the Intimate Melody Lana. It's the 3-in-1 bullet package. So what I really have liked about this right now is the three little bullet vibes that come with it are really soft, like really soft. And basically, it's not a bad little bullet vibe. I'll discuss more in my upcoming review, but so far, it's been quite an interesting toy.
And it's also pretty neat because you get the three different bullets and they plug into a different bass, right? So you can switch out depending on what you're in the mood for.
Exactly. And the bass is really small. It fits in the palm of my hand, which, as most you know, people know, my hand is very small. It's like a child-sized hand, so it's perfect.
So, we're the Trisexuals, and Lily takes a bullet for you.
Pretty much.
So, what I've been working on, then, while you two have been up to your shenanigans, and who knows what, and funny, penetrable farting, I've been, actually, I just released a review. I'm going to really butcher the pronunciation on this name. I think it's Simi-I. It might be Simi-I. I have no idea. But what this is, it's actually a video camera vibrator. So it's got this great little camera on the end. It's got its own light, and you can actually see inside your body. I have on, we'll have in the show notes here a clip where you can go to my review or go to us on YouTube and see, you can actually see my cervix. You have to use a speculum and whatnot to get in there, but it's really a pretty cool little toy. So you can check out my review at CuriousKit.com or any of the things in the show notes and find out more about that.
And those videos were so cool. And I was wondering about that because I could have sworn I saw that there was a speculum used there. So that's what you had to do. You had a clear one, right?
Yeah, I had to get a clear one. And I'm a little disappointed because I wanted to get a good clear picture of the body of the G-spot and also the perineal sponge. And the way the speculum fits in, it mashes the G-spot. You can't really see much of anything. Yeah, so it's there. And you can kind of, if you look around, you can see in the top and bottom the speculum there. But what you can see really well is the cervix really, really clearly. So that's interesting enough in and of itself. And if you get the camera, like, you can try some more external shots and you can get some really interesting things with it. I didn't put any of those up on my blog, but I've done all kinds of fun things with the camera there. So
now, did you label that video Journey to the Center of Kit?
Now I'm gonna have to.
Okay.
Now for me, I think that would be really interesting is to see, like, if someone was to do something anally, I think would be really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've never seen that done. The trick is you're going to have to be able to fit a speculum in. I actually thought about that, and I do not have, like, I, like Max, have a pansy pooper. So there's no way I can get the speculum in and get it to stretch that much and look around. I wish I could because that would have been interesting. So I don't know. Maybe I'll have to see if I can work my way up to it or whatnot, but
yeah, we might have to have an outsourced person do it.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody who's got a little bit more space there. And I have something else here with me today because we actually ran a Twitter poll and we said, what would you guys like to hear us talk about? And the winner was Pony and Pet Play. So in honor of that, I have
a hoping for this subject. It's my favorite.
Yay!
Yeah, it should be really, really interesting. And in honor of that, I have my Crystal Delights Crystal Minx ponytail plug that I brought. And I have a review also on my blog of this. But it is just such a pretty toy. Like, I fell in love with tails because of this. This is my first tail. And it's interesting because you can actually detach the glass plug away from the tail so you can interchange it with all the different colors. And on their website, oh my God, like, I just want I want them all. I want all the different colors to have with that. And it's actually really pretty comfortable to wear too. Like, the tails have a little bit of maintenance and stuff that goes into them, but they are really spectacular. And so that's kind of my first pony toy, I guess you could say. I am, unlike Max and Lily, I am really, really new to pony play. In fact, I hadn't even heard of it before I met them. So I have tons of questions for them, and they're very experienced with this. This is really going to be a fun thing to talk about. But I would have to say, I'm really curious, and I want to hear what you say about this. Like, what is pony play? Like, what really goes into this, you guys?
All right. Well, I don't know if we're all that experienced, but I suppose we've had a little bit more experience than you in this front. So firstly, I'd like to mention that, you know, we're not only going to be talking about pony play, though that's going to be the primary subject, because in this category of fetishes, if you want to even call it that, you have puppy play and you have pet play, and this can involve any number of different kinds of animal play, right? So we've seen, in our experience, we've seen kittens, we've seen wolves, we've seen even once a raptor play, which is kind of interesting. They actually tied up the person's arms in such a way so that they could barely use them. Maybe it was T-Rex, I don't know. But...
No, I think it was a raptor, I think.
But yeah, so it's all about whatever might be interesting to you. What I would love to see, though, is chameleon play, so... We're waiting for that one of these days here. If you've done chameleon play, we want to hear about it and want to hear about how you got your skin to change color. So that's weird. How'd you do that?
And I have a really, what seems to me like probably a really stupid question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because it's what came to my mind first when I heard of pony and pet play. I thought, is this related to My Little Ponies?
I suppose that's a pretty, you know, common association out there. Now, while there are probably, there's definitely people that are fans of My Little Pony who participate in pony play.
And they're called bronies.
Maybe. Brony might be, I mean, you could be a fan of the show and not necessarily be a brony, I suppose. But what we're talking about is primarily the people that are participating in it, either from the BDSM perspective or just for like fun in the bedroom thing. So not all of those people, in fact, probably a small number of them actually are also into My Little Pony. So it is kind of a separate thing. And also keep in mind that bronies, to be fair, are usually not sexual about the pony thing, you know. With these things, there's a lot of crossover, and that's okay. That's what makes it a lot of fun. But, yeah, does that answer your question, Kit?
Oh, yeah, it does. I was just going to say, you mentioned BDSM, and I just wanted to hear a little bit more, you know, about how that is, or is this BDSM play, technically, or what?
It can be, and it may not be. It depends on the individual person and what they're going to do. For instance, it can be very BDSM like, in which there's a submissive and dominant role being played, where the submissive is being put in that headspace as an animal. But it could also be just something for fun, where someone just wants to be around and be a cat for a day.
Yeah, I'd say generally when you talk about pet and pony play, generally that tends to mean, with, you know, from the BDSM side of things. You certainly can have animal role play without it being in that BDSM categorization, but you know, most of what we've had experience with and the friends that we have would consider themselves part of the BDSM community, because there is a certain amount of power exchange when you have one member of your, you know, or one partner, you know, taking on a different headspace. So while we're talking about headspace, let's kind of define what that means. So headspace is a different state of mind that can be achieved through different kinds of play, right? So even if you've not participated in BDSM, you've probably experienced different headspaces before, be it through meditation or when you're zoning out at work, or, you know, maybe as you're a kid, you get into playing as some sort of character and you kind of like take on that state of mind for a while. It can be a lot of fun. And so headspace is something that pony, pet players, and pup players will oftentimes strive for, because they can sometimes get their minds to take on the state of an animal temporarily. That may sound kind of scary, but it actually is kind of a relief. You mm-hmm. suddenly can shed a lot of the world's worries, a lot of the things that humans have to always constantly worry about, your taxes and mortgages and you know, going to work the next day. You can just forget about all that, and suddenly all you care about is eating, getting scritches, being loved, mm-hmm. and in some case, getting your freak on.
So it almost sounds meditative then to me.
It really is. It's very liberating when you're in that space and all you can think about is, where are the craisins?
So Lily here just said craisins, and that's because she actually has experienced pony headspace before. She has a pony character known as Pony Tiger Lily. Mm-hmm. And Pony Tiger Lily, now this is something like you don't oftentimes just like make up your pony character. It kind of like finds you. When you enter that headspace, you start to learn what sort of pony or pet or whatever you're trying out, whatever you are, kind of like just happens. In this particular case, we found out that Pony Tiger Lily has the things for craisins. And if I have those in my pocket while I'm, you know, doing different scenes with her, which we'll explain what that means later, you know, she'll even like nuzzle my pocket, try to get the craisins out of my hand or whatever.
Yeah, it's really I think one time I bit your hand so I could get at them, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And that's the funny thing about headspace, too, because, you know, you might do, I mean, you're never going to do something that you're absolutely against or anything like that, but you might be a little bit, it's just like hypnotism in that you might end up doing something and not worrying so much about it, right? So she, as a human, may have the desire to bite my hand to get at the food, but as a pony, she's not going to be able to stop herself from doing that.
Exactly. and to be clear, headspace means something different for each person. It could be something very personalized to
some
what
pet
that...
players, you know, don't reach it, or it takes them a while to reach it. So one thing I'd like to talk about right now is actually kind of a funny story. Lily wasn't actually intending to be a pony or into pony play at all. That was something that a couple years ago I was somewhat interested in because I have an experience in the furry fandom, the anthropomorphic fandom. You know, I had a character and all that sort of thing. And pony play kind of appealed to me as maybe a gateway for me to experience some BDSM stuff. You know, because there's oftentimes leather and a little bit of bondage and stuff involved in it. So at the time where I finally convinced Lily that we should go to like an introduction to pony play class, I'd actually ended up breaking my leg. And, you know, a pony with a broken leg is not a happy sight. So when we ended up going to this class, there was a few interactive elements to it where, you know, one partner was supposed to act as the handler, like, you know, a normal horse handler for when you're talking about real horses, which is actually, there's a term for that when you're talking about pony play. It's called bio horses. So when you talk about ponies, you're generally talking about human beings that are pretending to be ponies. And when you say bio horses, you're talking about the four-legged horses that you see running around in the fields. So anyway, there's a few segments where we were, you know, experimenting, and Lily had to become the pony in this case because I had a broken leg and couldn't get around too good. And after that experience, she realized she really, really liked being a pony, something that she was actually not really comfortable with at first, if I recall correctly, yep, because she had had experience with bio horses. You know, she mm-hmm. she used to ride horses in college. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that story?
As Max said, he had broken his leg, and we were at this class, and I had to be, you know, doing different steps and things like that. And all of a sudden, it just clicked that, oh my God, I can actually be this other being, this other part of me, and feel completely free. And it was such a release. I felt so good. Even after coming back into, you know, my own headspace, it just felt so amazing.
So keep in mind that, you know, this first little introduction to pony play we had, there's no sexual element to it, really.
Not at all.
You know, so that's something that is true of, you know, pet play, pup play, or any of that. For some folks, it never ends up becoming a sexual thing. It's just about that power exchange and enjoying that dynamic in your relationship. And for others, it can become a sexual thing. In our case, after a few sessions of doing pony play, it ended up becoming a slightly sexual thing for us. It sometimes, not always. Oftentimes, Pony Tiger Lily, I can tell you, she likes to be groomed, she likes to be brushed, she likes to be taken care of, and she likes to eat craisins.
I guess you can call me a little high maintenance.
Yeah. Ponies are often very high maintenance.
So do you have particular things that you wear? You know, do you have bits and bridles and things when you're playing pony? Or how does that work?
That's a really good question. And the answer is yes and no. Sometimes You don't need all the fancy headgear. You don't need all the stuff. You can Yeah, it's not a requirement at all. You can just put your hands behind your back and be a pony. You don't have to wear anything. It's just a state of mind. But getting, you know, having some of the headgear, like the bridle or tack, and having, you know, having your hands bound like in vet wrap or something.
So you can't use your hands like a human. That mm-hmm. oftentimes can help
get you into that headspace.
Yeah, help get people in the headspace, because using hands is a very human activity. And if you temporarily take that away from someone, it can help them feel more animalistic.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, all sorts of things go with it, from bits, you know, they're just basically like gag bits almost.
Well, yeah, I mean, they work like a gag. They go in your mouth and they kind of prevent you from talking and make you drool a little bit.
A drool a little? I think drool a lot is probably the best thing.
It can be a bit of a turn on. But yeah, so, and for a lot of folks, it really helps them get into that headspace, you know. For Lily, for example, she has a head stall. It's very pretty. When she puts that on, it's like very easy for her to slip into that pony headspace. And then when the bridle comes off, it's a lot easier once it comes off for her to become human again.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine the handler, too, would have to get into a different headspace. I don't know. Do you?
No, that's a good question. I wouldn't say I've experienced like a real firm headspace like you hear like pet players and pony players talking about. But, I mean, you are right. I have to see this creature, this love of mine, slightly differently. You know, I'm not going to give her commands that I expect her to follow through regular English, right? There's actually a set of commands you learn. You can train her as if she's actually, you know, a horse.
Well, and do you... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
I was just wondering if you ever felt like... Sometimes when... I don't know, I've tried to take acting classes or things, like you feel a little bit silly. You're like, ooh, I'm doing this mm-hmm. thing, it's out of my norm, I feel odd and strange, and I feel like a doofus, you know. Does that mm-hmm. happen for you? How do you handle that?
Absolutely, that happens, and especially as a handler, I think the handlers can be more prone to that because they don't enter that real firm headspace, right? When you enter a good headspace as an animal role player, oftentimes the other people either become invisible to you, or they just become potential for scritches and treats. Like, you know, they don't really affect where you're going so much. But as a handler, I'm looking around and I'm seeing other people like, oh man, are they judging me? All that sort of thing. But, you know, in the times when we were starting to get into it and we were new to the whole thing, we happened to be at a kinky camp out called Crucible. And there was a huge pony contingent there. And oftentimes when we were doing it, I looked to my right and there's somebody else in pony headspace and a trainer. And then looked to my left and same thing. So being surrounded by it helped me a lot. But oftentimes when you're doing fun scenes, you know, it's tough sometimes. But the best thing you can do is just forget about everyone else around you and just do what feels right. That's what it's all about.
Does it take you a lot of time to get into the headspace before it clicks in? Or, like, do you have special preparation or exercises or something you do to get into it?
Well, and that's a good question with that, is it's... At the beginning, it is kind of sometimes hard. But once you get into a routine, like for me, just putting on my headgear or my bridle, as soon as that goes on, I'm really into that headspace of being Pony Tiger Lily. Without that stall, it was actually really hard for me to get into it. And so one of the things that we would do is that he'd start grooming me and, you know, put the bit in my mouth. And, you know, just doing the same routine will actually help you get into that headspace faster.
It's a lot like learning meditation. You know, oftentimes there's certain things that you can use, like your environment around you or context, that can just help your mind slip into that state of relaxation.
Sure, and I'm sure the more you play, the easier it would be to slip into that headspace. The more familiar it would feel, I would bet.
Mm-hmm. And practice makes, you know, things happy.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about the different types of ponies, right? So, I mean, there's as many different types of ponies out there as there are pony players, but there are, like, a couple of basic categories that new players especially will tend towards. And one of those would be a show pony. Mm-hmm. And they can participate in events such as dressage, which in bio horse lingo, bio pony lingo, is like, well, you can explain it because you've actually done it before.
Yeah, dressage is basically you're looking at the steps of a bio pony, or in this case, you know, a pony player, and they'll have certain steps that they'll do, and it's kind of like a dance. So with that, you know, the pony players will actually be a lot more sensitive as to what they look like, what they're wearing, how are they moving? Are they moving very graciously? Are they clumsy? You know, all this stuff goes into a show horse or a show pony.
Right. And so there will actually be competitions oftentimes at kinky campouts or BDSM dungeons or that sort of thing. And they'll have ponies in pony headspace performing different dressage acts and being judged on their tack and all that sort of stuff. So that's one way that people have fun with it. Another type of horse that people oftentimes emulate is a workhorse or a draft horse.
Mm-hmm. And with that, you are actually pulling carts or pulling something. And I found at the Kinky Campout Crucible that we went to, I love pulling carts. It is such an amazing feeling.
That was one of those things that was a really big surprise for both of us, because the last thing I thought she wanted to do was pull my fat ass around in a cart. But when she got hooked up to that cart, and they have small carts that are made specifically for this, and actually they oftentimes for real bio ponies, like pony ponies, the small ones, these are like little pony carts, but they're just the right size that a human pony player can use them as well. And you'll work on a set of commands and get pulled around. And, you know, she had a lot of fun with that.
And then probably the last one is one of the terms, I know there's many terms for this, but it's called a wild pony. And as we mentioned before, when I first got into pony playing, Max actually had his leg broken. So we went to this one outdoor event. And I basically was a wild pony. I was running around without a handler because my handler was stuck on a chair.
Yeah, the handler could not keep up with the pony. So she was, she went around and distracted a lot of other ponies that were trying to be trained by their handler at the time and trying to get them to chase her, that sort of thing. So, you know, that can be a lot of fun for people. And that's a good way to get started where you don't have to have a handler. You just go, you enter that headspace and have a lot of fun. The reception's oftentimes very positive with it. I mean, especially if you're in a context such as a dungeon or at a kinky campout or something like that, people are oftentimes very willing to interact and give scritches and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lily and I are lucky enough that there's actually a big pony contingent here in Denver where we live. And there's actually this group called the Denver Pony Teamsters Union. And we like to meet up once a month. We get food, drinks, just kind of hang out, have a good time. Or, you know, hang out with people that have similar interests to you. Oftentimes we'll show off, you know, latest tack or, you know, that sort of stuff. But generally just about hanging out with a bunch of friends. So we actually, just last night, was the time that we meet and get together, and Lily and I put together a little segment that I think you'll all enjoy, where we interview a few of them.
It was amazing. We had so much fun.
Here we are with the Denver Pony Teamsters Union.
And we are not only just here with the ponies, we also have some pup players here.
Some usurpers to the scene here. Why do they always fucking howl?
I don't know. Once one starts, the other one goes, and then it's a big mess. So anyway, we're going to be here all night chit-chatting, having fun, and talking one-on-one with some of these great, amazing people.
And you, listener, are with us on this journey. It's like you're riding on my back into the sunset, listening to the ponies and the pups talk about their magnificent fetish.
That is so sweet, I just want to puke.
Oh, that's a fetish too. All right, we have a pony that pulled up to the mic here. What is your name, pony friend?
Super Horse.
Super Horse!
And Super Horse, what kind of pony are you?
I am a show pony. A show pony, they do a lot of dressage, they wear a lot of pretty tack, they do shows, they do routines, like it's basically all about being at the center of attention and getting graded on how pretty you are and how graceful you are.
So basically what you're telling me is you're a little center of attention whore.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, I really am.
But he does a lot of show ponies are. For being pretty, so.
Yeah. So with this, do you like wear tack? Do you wear hooves?
Yeah, tell us a little bit about what you like to wear, because I've seen Super Pony in his full regalia,
and it is sexy.
Really good.
I feel like for show ponies, tack is the most important for show ponies, because like, you know, we're all about looking the part. We're all about looking pretty. Like, you could do pony play with as much tack as you want, or as little tack as you want. But I feel like show ponies are the ones who tend to wear, like, they have one of everything. Like, I've got, you know, my pony skin, which is the spandex suit that I wear to simulate fur. It's got, like, a half cape coming off of it, and it's got, like, red patterning. It's black, and it's got red patterns on it, and, you know, I wear, like, a red and black harness. Everything's red and black, by the way. Everything's got to fit the scheme.
So you have a cape, too, right?
Yeah.
So basically everything has to color coordinate and be perfect.
Oh, it must. Absolutely. It must. Like, that's whenever I buy tack, that's like the first thing I think about is how it's going to look with everything else. Yeah, I've got hooves, I've got the bridle, and like Max said, it all looks pretty sexy. Like Lily said, it all looks pretty sexy. Really it good. Looks pretty fantastic.
So, of course, I have to ask, for some of our listeners out there, do you ever get pony jealous when you see another horse with a tack that you really
Holy
want?
Shit. I feel like that's an issue. That's a common thing, not just in pony play, but I think in BDSM in general, when you see that picture on FetLife of the people wearing the gear you want to wear, doing the stuff you want to do. But, like, whenever I see one of the Fury Fantasy pony players in all their tack. Oh my god!
So I'll put a link in the show notes to some of the Fury Fantasy material out there, because unless I'm mistaken, ponies correct me if I'm wrong, but Fury Fantasy kind of has like that ultra strive for, like every pony player is kind of like, that's easy.
Yeah, they are the pinnacle. Like, they are legit the pinnacle of, Fury does some amazing stuff, and all the ponies that are in their herd, they're really great people, amazing people. They've done a lot to like encourage my participation in the pony community. Really, really inspirational, and extremely jealous of their gear. Yeah.
Excellent. How does one get started?
So like, I think the biggest thing that I learned is like the important thing about, getting started in pony play is just do it. Like, you don't need, even though a lot of pony players take a lot of pride in their tack, and all the big pony players, they have the amazing tack and stuff. You don't have to look the part to do it. You could do it with, like, you can make a rope bridle really easy. Whatever it takes to get in the headspace, just do it. And the other big thing too is don't wait to get a handler. You know, don't wait for someone else to do it with you. Like, start being a pony now, because pony play is still kind of a niche thing. So, I mean, if you sit around and you wait for a handler, you sit around and wait for the tack and stuff, then you'll miss all sorts of fun times and events and stuff. So just do it. That's the biggest thing. That's the hardest thing to do.
Just do it. I like it. Well, thank you so much.
So we are here with one of the usurpers to the Pony Teamster Union.
Oh!
The small but growing pup contingent. So would you like to tell us your name?
I am Cody.
Cody.
Oh, Cody. And what kind of pup are you?
Husky. They are the best puppies ever.
Now, why do you see that?
Because they work hard and they play hard.
Ooh. Kind of like Natasha from Bad Dragon.
Can you tell us a little bit about what puppy play is?
Well, so I kind of came at it differently, because I came in more from the furry side than the pet play side. So I came in through my fursona into the pet play and really enjoy tussling and letting go and being a puppy.
And what kind of tack goes into puppy play?
For me, it's mostly just the collar and being on all fours. Knee pads can help a lot.
I can imagine, especially being on all fours, having your knees being scraped up, especially on concrete or hardwood.
Yeah.
Or even, well, I guess carpet. You have to worry about carpet rash.
And then for me, one of the ultimate things would be like a fursuit, which is a gigantic, like, $1,000 suit that you can buy.
$1,000 if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So if you can give us one really amazing time where you were in completely in pup headspace.
I was at Thunder. This was one of my first pup play experiences. There was a pup play class where we all got in, and I completely let go, and I was a pup for about 30 minutes.
So could you give us an awesome howl before you leave?
Oh!
We have another pony in the mix here. Would you like to tell us your name?
Yes, Tromper.
And what sort of pony are you, Tromper?
I'm a workhorse.
Ooh. And what do workhorses do?
Well, workhorses are more about, you know, cart pulling, sledge pulling, more feats of strength as opposed to show ponies.
So you're basically, you're telling me you're not self-centered, you like helping out
things. No, I'm completely self-centered and I love the attention. I just don't have the grace of a show pony. In fact, that's where Tromper came from. Some ponies prance around and some ponies tromp around.
Ah, ooh. So you're a tromper. Yes.
So if you want to tell us a little bit about the tack that you wear.
Okay, so the tack that I wear is centered around my headgear, which I actually was the first piece of gear I ever got when I was 19. I have a headgear, a bridle and stall that came from the watering hole back east. And then I have a harness and some handbags and just regular tanker's boots for my feet and kind of a weightlifting belt, cinch belt for pulling things.
Excellent. I have seen, not the newest headgear, because that's mm-hmm. new, but I've seen the old one and it's really sexy. I'm mm-hmm. really looking forward to seeing the new one at Thunder, which is coming up in just a couple weeks.
So Tromper, what's the favorite work activity you've done as a workhorse when you've been in your headspace?
Cart pulling. Without a question.
So you actually pull other people around in a cart?
Absolutely. And most of them want to. But that makes no never mind to me. But no, at Thunder with the pony track they've set up, we've had carts in the past, so for the past 4, 5, 6 years, yeah, and we'll spend hours just hitched up to the cart and giving people rides.
So you are Thunder's personal version of Uber. You get people where they need to go.
I'm much safer than Uber, I feel.
Oh, okay.
So I guess and cheaper. So would that be Poober? No. Pony Uber?
No, that's Pooper, Poober is something else. That's,
Puber? Yeah.
Piffed?
What?
Pony Lift?
No, you're not. This is why you don't come up with names. I love you.
I'll just bite you again. So is there anything you would like to tell our listeners about pony play in general? Any good advice you can give someone?
Well, the advice that a lot of people have given, that Superhorse gave, you don't need to wait for having all the right gear. There is no right gear. And don't wait for a handler. I'm very lucky that I have a handler that I work with regularly. But it took me more than 10 years to find her. And it was a very long time just doing pony by myself. And don't wait. You can do pony by yourself. And it is amazing.
All right. So I believe we have another pony entering the fray here. Oh my gosh, I think this might be a bio pony. I'm not sure.
Oh no, she's quite sexy. Might be.
So would you like to tell us your name?
I don't actually have a pony name.
Oh. No.
I'm more of an opportunistic pet player. It kind of happens organically. I was at Thunder one year and turned into a cat accidentally.
Oh.
I crawled into a cage because I'd already wanted to be one, and somebody started dangling little leather things in, and I just started attacking and meowing and, you know. Basically turned into a
cat. You don't really like plan out like, oh, I'm gonna do some pony play today or I'm gonna do whatever, just kind of like fits
sometimes in just happens. I have pony gear, but I'm extreme budget. I bought an actual pony halter at a tack shop, consignment tack shop, took it apart and rebuckled it until I could get it to fit on a human face. My tail is actually a share wig from Party City.
No kidding.
Yeah, I just found the longest wig I could and rigged it up. So pretty much everything is really, really inexpensive. Those little head things that you sometimes see with the feather that the ponies plumes. Wear, the little plumes, it's a 20s flapper thing from Party City for about $2.
There you go.
So, yeah.
So just like everyone's saying, if you're waiting to have the right budget or the right gear, you just forget it. You just have fun. That's all. The only thing you need is the headspace. And some would say you don't even necessarily need that. If you're out there having fun, you're doing the right thing.
And you can make it up as you go along. We went to Kinky Camping once, and I wanted a pony. And my husband has no idea what to do with a horse. He's not a horse person. So I just pretty much ran around, and everybody was like, runaway pony, catch her! Runaway pony! And that was a lot of fun, too.
Excellent. So is there a type of pony when you are one that you imagine?
It depends what we need. So, for instance, if I'm giving other girls rides on my actual back, I'm more of a draft horse. Pretty much if you're under, you know, 150, I can easily put you on my back and carry you around. So carts I pull at yeah, you want to ride? I pull carts if I need, or just run around jumping over things. It depends. I'm not a show pony because it's too much fuss. I did that with bio ponies as a kid, and it didn't work.
Excellent. And is there something you want to explain to our listeners about why it's such a great thing to do, pet play, pony play? What's such an exciting thing about it?
It's half and half the fact that you get to be something completely different. And for some people, they go completely into animal space. So it's you drop all of your worries the day and you have nothing to worry about except that somebody's giving you treats or leading you around or whatever it is. You get to stop worrying about being a human. The other part is the attention. Because, yes, it's a lot of fun when you run around and then, oh, we need to pet the pony and groom the pony and feed the pony carrots, you know, and pet brush the kitty or the puppy or the whinny. So it's fun.
Now, is there a favorite treat that you like?
Carrots are delicious.
Excellent. And could we have one more whinny before you go?
Holy mackerel. That is wow. Amazing. All right, so we're here with a special addition to the podcast. We have Puppy Pony Partners.
We're the Pup and Pony Show. That's what we call ourselves.
Pup and Pony Show.
So you're P-cubed! Mm-hmm. So excited. So if you'd like to tell us your name and a little bit about, are you a puppy, are you a pony, or what are you guys?
Well, I am Puppy Pods. I have been pupping in various capacities since I was a teenager. I am a husky puppy, like our other puppy friend over there. That's the basics on me.
I'm Blaze, Blaze Pony. I have been pony playing for about 4.5 years now. And I've just recently decided to steal puppy play from this one. And I am also backup, a Labrador puppy.
Oh, that sounds so adorable.
And your pony breed?
Oh, and my pony self, Blaze, is a Norwegian fjord.
So, tell us a little bit about the tack that you use.
I have a number of pieces of tack that I'll use. I started exploring puppy play as part of the gay male community back when I was about 14. And I was working at a pet store, so I requisitioned some items from the pet store, including various squeaky toys. I have a harness that actually doesn't fit me, but does fit my partner here. Just your typical kind of nylon strap harness. I have some leather puppy mitts that I wear that are pretty comfortable, though I do want to upgrade to a set that has a little more padding. But really a collar. There's a collar that I found in a thrift store that is pink and blue and yellow. It's kind of the trans colors, which really spoke to me. Kind of functions as both a puppy and a kitty collar. And for me, that's really mostly what I need in order to really kind of feel like I'm starting to get towards puppy headspace.
So you get the collar on and boom, that really helps set you up for it.
It does. And I think I don't really get into headspace nearly as deep. I'll let Blaze explain the first time that he got into pony headspace because that's such an incredible story. But it's something I've been kind of jealous of other people being able to get into, to really dive into that sort of non-human or less human state of mind. But I find that it's a really good excuse to be able to turn off and frankly shut my mouth for a while and not have any reason to talk or control what's going on or worry about bills or chores or anything like that. So I think the general animal headspace really speaks to me. Squeaky toys are really nice things to have as a puppy.
Yeah. Excellent. And what about you, Blaze?
Well, I very much like Super Horse. I use a spandex / lycra suit that simulates horse fur. I have a character in mind when I play my pony self. Like I said before, he's a Fjord horse, so he is dun. He's a gray dun, so he's mostly white with some dark gray, I guess, points and a dorsal stripe, and he's got a stripe down his mane and through his tail. And a lot of my stuff is self-made, and I really wanted, like, Fury Fantasy. I was really inspired by Fury Fantasy, but I do not have the money to spend on Fury Fantasy gear, so I made what I could out of papier-mâché and then covered it with felt to make fur. I bought hair cane cologne from Dr. Box,
mm-hmm.
And I made my tail using that.
So, can you let our listeners know kind of what pony headspace is like for you?
So, for me, I can go fairly deep into headspace, and it was completely a surprise for me. The first time I was in headspace, I didn't even realize I was in headspace. It was my first thunder, our first thunder. And we kind of spent a little bit of time sort of freaking out about what it was going to be like down there, kind of having this little bit of an existential crisis a little bit.
So it's a massive event. It's one of the biggest BDSM events, in, certainly in the nation, and I think worldwide, too.
It was within our first year of being together, and it was our first event, let alone a massive event, let alone one that has so many endorphins going throughout everybody. Everybody is high on endorphins throughout the entire weekend.
So you're basically saying this was probably the deepest deep end that you guys have been in.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Because before then, you were real skeptical about pony play. I remember the first time when we started dating.
You suggested it.
Yeah, well, because you had experience raising a horse when you were a kid, and mm-hmm. I was introducing you to some other aspects of BDSM, and I had mentioned pony play.
And I knew about pony play, and what came to mind when I thought about pony play were the drawings, the porn girls, you know, mm-hmm. super tight latex, high-stepping, drooling with a bit in their mouth. They're not horses. They're overly sexualized, maybe. At least from my preferences.
Mm-hmm.
My type of pony play is not sexual, although it can be, because let's face it, I'm a stallion.
So you like to breed a lot.
Yes. but there's a time and a place,
mm-hmm.
right? When you're being ridden, you're not going to all of a sudden untack your horse and start, you know, giving him a hand job. You're going to maybe do a vet scene. You're going to maybe, like, say, hey, look at that sexy pony girl over there. You're going to get your pony all randy and then maybe give him a hand job, you know?
Mm. So suffice it to say, all those different possibilities were running through your head when we were getting ready to head to Thunder of the Mountains.
Right. But, of course, I hadn't thought about all these potential scenes in my head. All I had in mind when I was thinking pony play was, well, it's feathers and prancing, and I'm totally not all about that.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found, we went down to the dungeon, down to the pony track, and there was a pony there by the name of Wildfire.
It was towards the end of the night and we had been watching.
Starting to clear out a little bit, yeah.
We'd watched from afar for a good part of the night and finally got up the courage to go over there.
And Pony Wildfire just kind of came up and offered to give me a demo and offered to let me try on his hooves, and I tried on those hooves and I was gone.
Mm.
Like,
in a good way.
In a good way. In a very good way. In a way that I didn't even realize until I tried on his hooves, I stepped a few, because it's the way he builds his hooves, your heel is way up off the floor. You're up on your toes, and your hooves, your feet look like hooves. You look down, and your feet aren't human feet anymore. And that was when I started to feel my brain kind of go, but I wasn't really knowing to expect that or was recognizing it at that point. And you were starting to kind of lead me around. I'd taken the hooves off at that point because I was afraid of falling down.
And Wildfire had been standing there with you to make sure that you were okay. And at that point in time, I was just sitting off to the side, and I actually started crying because it was such a cool experience to watch. It was very much like, I mean, frankly, seeing a foal being born and, like, learning how to use their legs and kind of looking down and being like, oh, that's how that works. Wow. And it only took, like, probably 2 minutes where you're really shaky to start with. I'm sure time had no meaning to you at that point, but it was not long. It was certainly less than 5 minutes that it took you to feel a little more steady on your feet, and you weren't wobbling so much, and I think Wildfire took you around the track once, and then handed the reins over to me.
Right, and then you took me around the track, with me pulling the cart, and it wasn't attached, I was holding the traces with my hands, like, and I was still just, I was in bliss. Just complete bliss mode, escapism. It's totally about escapism for me.
Well, and I could tell that you were really happy, and I don't think either of us fully realized the depth to which you had entered that headspace until we got back up to the hotel room.
And started to shower.
And I was talking to you, saying, oh, wow, that looked like a lot of fun. That was really cool.
And I just look up, and I go, huh? I don't understand.
Is that English? I don't know.
Yeah.
Understand words?
You had a very blank look on your face, and yeah, you kind of looked at me and said, I cannot actually understand what you're saying right now. Give me just a second. And I think by the time we got out of the shower and started cuddling, you were starting to come back. Yeah. But that was a good 15 minutes after you had left the dungeon and you were back into a brightly lit hallway, and it still persisted for you.
Right. Yeah, and for the next couple of years, I mean, we've been doing Pony Play for a good, well, the entire time we've been together, I guess.
A very good time, yes.
It's been, like, the first couple of years that we were doing it, I would have to go in and actually, my come down from Headspace would take me a while, and I would have to wait to interact with people because I would have no idea what they were saying. My hope is that anyone who sees me play and is not familiar with Pony Play or Pet Play at all, I want to give them the weirdest boner. I want to make them curious. I want to be like, I am so turned on, I have no idea why. I want to give them the chance to be introspective in perhaps a way that they have not before.
Well, very glad to have you on the podcast, because at Trisexuals, we're all about giving the weird boners.
Oh, hell yes. So can we get one more whinny and howling from everybody?
So this is Max and Lily signing off.
Have a great night. And I just wanted to, again, thank the Denver Pony Teamsters Union for meeting with us last night and just, you know, sharing such wonderful experiences and great things that actually came out of that. And thank you again.
Yeah, pet and pony play is oftentimes a very personal experience, so it really means a lot to us that you're willing to share that with, you know, the world. So thank you so much.
Exactly. And it was just really amazing to me to hear all of your experiences and your thoughts and your own words. It was just really fabulous. So thank you so much for doing that.
In our next episode, we are actually going to be talking about the tools of the pet play trade. Things like paws, hooves, tails, headgear, and even crops and carts. Not to mention, we have to talk about some of the amazing fantasy sex toys centered around pet play. Pony, pup, wolves. So many good things are going to come with this. So tune in next week for that.
And I have it on good authority that one of the members of the Trisexuals might have a new Sleipner toy on the way that I would love to hear about.
Yes, I do. And it's great because it's got a squirting feature, which is going to be really, really special. So you'll want to tune in and hear about all of that.
Oh, one of the cum tubes from Bad Dragon. Nice.
Awesome. Those are amazing.
All right, so now why don't we go into listener questions? I believe we have one this week. Kit, would you like to read off that question for us?
I absolutely would. This comes to us from Eliza Marie 93, and they said, how did each of you grow your blogs to where they are today?
Well, now that's secret. We can't tell you that at all. One of the best ways as a sex blogger, in our experience, Lily and I, has been Twitter. That seems to be where the sex blogging universe kind of revolves around, at least as it is right now. So a good way to get more followers and people that are interested in your stuff is just interact on Twitter. And not just adding people, not talking to them. You want to involve yourself in conversations. You know, don't get me wrong. Don't be annoying. Don't irritate people. But when appropriate, communicate with people. Let them know stuff that you like that they've produced. And that's a good way to get people to start paying attention to what you do. And of course, produce good content.
Exactly. And don't be one of the people that just go around liking everything. Yeah. Interact with these people. I mean, if you see a toy that looks really interesting, don't just like it, talk to the manufacturer saying, oh my God, this is a beautiful toy. You know, ask about how's it made? What goes into it?
Yeah. And these things lead to all sorts of opportunities you might not think of. This podcast, as we mentioned last time, was started because Kit reached out to us on one of the reviews that we did. Because she reached out to us, we ended up starting a podcast.
Yeah, and that's really one of the best things of advice I could give to anyone who wants to start a blog is don't try to wait until everything's perfect. Just get your feet moving. Get a couple toys, write a couple reviews, you know, get on Twitter and just start talking and watch it evolve. And that's really kind of what's happened too with mine. I don't know as I've done so many things to specifically grow it as it's just sort of, you know, answering the phones and the mail, basically. Like, it just anything that comes into you, you're just kind of working with. So
if you write it, they will come.
Yeah, exactly.
And come harder and come again.
And just, you know, if you're curious even how to start, you don't have to go and, you know, buy any of these big fancy toys. Just start with what you have currently. That's how we started.
Yeah,
that's
or talk about too. How you masturbate. Your hand's a free sex toy.
Mm-hmm.
I happen to know that Kit uses a lot of giveaways to help grow her audience.
Oh, that's right.
I do. Well, I love giveaways. They're really fun to do, and they're a great way for me to get word out about companies that make things that are really special that I've tried out that I really enjoy. And of course, it spreads the word and helps everything. So yeah, that's a wonderful thing to do if you want to get out there and grow your presence and that kind of thing. It's really fabulous. So thank you, Eliza Marie 93. That was a fabulous question. And a reminder to all you listeners out there, we really love questions. So if you have questions, get on Twitter, send us your question with the hashtag AskTrisexuals, and we will see what we can do about that for you. So that'll be in your show notes as well. And we're really looking forward to answering all of your questions.
Now, on the subject of giveaways, I seem to remember that we have a giveaway going on right now for an ovipositor from Primal Hardware. Is that right, Kat?
We do, and it's a really special giveaway because it's not just an ovipositor. Like, you get to pick the model that you want. Primal Hardware has three different ones, and they're fabulous. If you get on our website, you can take a look. There are pictures, there are descriptions that show you what we got going on there. So the link for that will be in the show notes as well, and make sure you go and get your entries in because it's going to be really great. You can pick your colors as well. I mean, this is a fabulous, awesome giveaway for a great toy.
Choose your own egg adventure.
There you go. Exactly.
Well, on that note, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to us. And I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
Remember to rate us on iTunes, tell your friends, and get on all fours and bark like a dog.
Purr softly and carry a fluffy tail.
And don't ever forget, get into that headspace. Get into it now.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, he ought to be publicly pissed on. He ought to be tied up to a chop.
Bing, bang.
He ought to be tied to a urinal and left there to fester and rot. All right.